Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are on the Erev of Chag HaShavuot.
Right.
We counted 49 days, and now it's the last day. And by the way, just for the sake of it, all think that tomorrow we're going to receive the Torah. The truth is, the Rav Hirsch says, if you do the right calculation, it's not tomorrow.
It's
why?
50.
Why? I'll tell you why. Because Am Yisrael got out of Egypt at the 15th of Nisan, which was Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The next day they started counting the Omer like we start, yeah, which was Friday.
Yeah.
Now, 7 times 7, when you get to the Friday, it's 49 is the Thursday.
Yeah.
The Friday is already the 50th day. Now, they received the Torah on Shabbos, which means the Shabbos is not the 50th day, it's the 51st. Which is very, by the way, you can see it in the first commandment, it says, Anochi Hashem. Anochi, Aleph Nun. Aleph and Nun is 1 and 50, is 51. That's the Luchot HaRishonim, the first Luchot. Then Ki, Anochi, Chaf and Yud is Yom Kippur, which is the second Luchot. And if we're already talking about this, we'll mention something else. On Chag HaShavuot, which is, we say Chag Matan Torah. So first of all, we understand that it's not exactly Matan Torah. So what is the celebration for? The celebration for is to receive the Torah, we have to receive everything. There is no date to receive the Torah. So what is the celebration for? Celebration is for understanding after 49 days of counting, getting out of the Tuma and getting into the Kedusha, that without Torah, there is nothing. The minute you understand this, that's the reason of celebration. That's what we celebrate. Now, how do we celebrate? So there is a discussion in the Gemara, because once it's written, Atzeret hi la'Hashem. The Yom Tov is for God. And in another place it's written, Atzeret hi lachem, to you. So well, what is it? Is it for us or for God? And what's the difference? If it's for God, what would be the normal thing to do on Shavuos? To learn Torah the whole day and whole night. Eating what we need, but that's it. Don't have to eat. You're not ordered to eat. Now, if it's for us, so what we should do is eat and sleep. So in the end, the Gemara says, Chetzio lachem, chetzio lachem. You do half-half. And that's what we do. A part of the time we learn Torah, and a part of the time we eat. Now, what is the idea? The idea is that the Torah was given to us to do something with it. Now, what? How do you do something? With the spirit or with the body?
Spirit.
With the body. No, action. The action itself is with the body. In other words, you need the body. Because without the body, you are a neshama, you can stay up there. You don't have to come here. You know, the Torah was given to us in order to practice, in order to the mitzvahs. So the combination between the body and the soul is being the main thing on Chag HaShavuot. Because we receive the Torah in order to do the mitzvahs with the body. So, and by the way, how do we feel a direct connection with God? With eating. That's why we have all the Jews, whatever it is, first of all, eating. Shabbos eating, Yom Tov eating, all the time eating. So, what is the idea behind it? Because if you're thirsty and hungry, the minute you eat, what do you feel? Amechaye. You feel the connection with your spirit. Because if you don't eat, what's going to happen to the spirit, to the neshama? We go up. She cannot stay here. So this is the connection between the body and the spirit. That's why on Shavuos we have to eat. Very good. So why the second Luchot, which are on Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to eat? Interesting. One side they tell us, you give the Torah, you have to eat. The other side they tell us, you're not allowed to eat. What's the difference? Says the Beit Shlomo, I think, says, the first Luchot are Olam Hazeh, this world. That's why they were broken. Because this world is temporary. We hear to do our mission, and then go up. What goes up? The neshama. In other words, that's exactly the position that we are here. On the first luchot, we receive the Torah in order to do the mitzvahs here, which is eating, blessing, doing mitzvahs. That's why on the first luchot, and Shavuos, we eat. What happens with the second luchot? We are like angels. Second luchot are against Olam Haba, the next world. And they are forever, eternity. It's a big lesson for us to understand that this world is only temporary. And we're only preparing ourselves here for the next world. The important world is the next world. And there is no eating, no drinking. We are like angels. And that's exactly the difference between first luchot and second luchot. So, tonight we're going to eat, tomorrow we're going to eat, and we're also going to eat milk stuff. And by the way, there is a mistake thinking that you can eat only milky stuff, dairy stuff on Shavuos. Because seuda, a meal, halachically, is with meat. Unless you don't like meat. Or meat doesn't agree with you. So in this case, you don't eat meat. You can eat milk. Otherwise, it's like they invite you for a wedding at night. You come and they give you eggs and cheese. What do you say? Is this a meal? This is a meal? I said, where is the steak? Where is the meat? So we understand that a meal is with meat. Otherwise, it's not a meal. So we eat dairy, but we also have to eat meat in order to make the mitzvah of eat, because we in Shavuos it's a mitzvah to eat. Okay, now we're getting to the Torah. Our parsha, Bamidbar, last one, and also the parsha that we're going to read on Shabbos, has got a very interesting, let's say, issues that are connected together. One of the most known thing is the blessing of the Kohanim, which is in our parsha. Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'yichuneka. A beautiful blessing that we use it in a lot of places, not only the Kohanim, but ourselves. Like the parents bench their children with Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. On Tfilat HaDerech we say Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. When we go to sleep we say Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. When we wake up in the morning we say Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. In other words, Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha is very important. Now what is so important or beautiful in this blessing? First of all, let's look only on the first sentence. Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. What does it mean? God is going to bless you and
keep you.
Protect you.
If he blesses me, what do I need keeping from? Says Rashi, very simple. You know, you can win the lottery. And 2 minutes later, somebody steals it from you. So, to get something is very good, but you have to keep it also. So God is telling you, I'm going to give you, and I'm also going to keep you, that you're going to keep it. You're going to still have it. And then, the other things, but I want to talk about something else. Why is Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha in singular and not in plural? Because the Kohanim are blessing everybody. So it should be Yivarechechem, not Yivarechecha, ve'yishmerechem, ve'lot ve'yishmerecha. Okay? First question. Then we have in our parsha the Nesi'im. The princes of the tribes, the Nesi'im, they last time, when they had to bring stuff for the Mishkan, they said, we'll wait, and whatever is going to be missing, we're going to supply. The problem is, Am Yisrael brought everything. So at the end, they just brought the stones for the Choshen. Now, they didn't wait for anything. Now they're going to give. And they're giving two interesting things. The first thing is, when we look in our parsha, let's go to the net. Yes. They bringing ויביאו את קורבנם. They bring the sacrifices לפני השם שש עגלות צב. What is שש? Six wagons. 12 tribes, 12 presidents, 12 princes. They bring six wagons. ושני עשר בקר. And 12 oxes. Now I'm asking, are they so stingy? Can't they in each one of them bring a wagon? Why they bring two, bring one wagon? Then, in a minute we'll come back. That's the questions. Then another question. Then they bring another interesting sacrifice, and something amazing is happening. The Torah is repeating itself 12 times with exactly the same words, talking about the sacrifice that each one of the Nesi'im is bringing. Why? The Torah, which every letter's got a meaning, suddenly is doing, if you look, Vayah makir biyom rishon korbano, nachshon ben amidav, I'm reading it quickly, וקורבנו כערת כסף אחת תלושים ומאה משקלה, נזרק אחד כסף שבעים שקל בשקל הקודש, שניהם מלאים סולת גלולה בשמן למנחה, כף אחת עשרה זהב מלאה קטורת, פר אחד בן בקר, איל אחד כבש אחד בן שטול, עולה שעיר עזים אחד לחטאת, ולזבח השלמים בקר שניים, מלאים חמישה, עתודים חמישה, כבשים נשנה חמישה, זה קורבן נחשון בן עמינדב. That was the sacrifice of נחשון. You go to the next one, exactly, but exactly the same words. 12 times?
Why?
What's going on here?
Well, everybody's even.
What does it mean?
Nobody is bigger than the other.
So, even so, you can write it once. Write all the president. What you're saying is that in a minute we'll get to it back. But that's the exact idea. If everything is the same, why?
To repeat it.
You can say, this is the sacrifice, and Nachshon brought it, and all the tribes wrote the same thing. We all know and understand. In Antwerp, there was this rabbi, well, Hasid, they were a rabbi, and they, you know, in Antwerp, they deal with diamonds. And now it's not so good, but in the good times, they had did a kiddush on Shabbos. They were very rich people. So every kiddush looks more than a wedding. Unbelievable. Believe me, I've been there. You go to a kiddush there, you cannot even imagine.
You haven't been to South Africa.
you have to see the Antwerp one, then you see. I've been in South Africa also.
Exactly.
Now, the problem is, not everybody is rich. Not everybody is in diamonds. And some of the congregation are normal people, and some of them are even poor. Now, the problem is, how are people going to look at you when Shabbos comes and you have a kiddush and you bring a smelt herring and a drink and that's it? Everybody's looked down at you. So people got loans. And really, for a kiddush, they got into problems. One day the rabbi comes and says, that's it. From this day on, kiddush in my shul is like this. Schmaltz herring. This liquor, banana liquor, you know, that they bring all the banana liquor and the crackers. That's a kiddush. And leikach, you know, the cake. So the rich went, what? This is a busha and cherpa. We're going to be, well, we want to do a kiddush. Says, you want to stay in my congregation? That's the way it works. From this day on, that what was, it didn't care who it was. What happened is, the poor could look proudly at the kiddush they're bringing. Didn't have to be ashamed. Because everybody brought the same, and it was very easy also for a guy who hasn't got a lot to bring crackers and schmaltz herring and liquor. That's exactly what was the sacrifice of the Nesi'im. We all know it started also with Cain and Abel. Cain had an idea, beautiful idea, to bring a sacrifice to God. Unfortunately, his brother copied him and brought a better sacrifice. And God listened to him, and this started the whole thing, and Abel was killed. In other words, competition causes envy, jealousy. And here comes Netanel ben Tzuar, Nesi Yisachar, the president of Yisachar, and says, come on, friends, let's be together. Let's bring exactly the same. That nobody brings more than the other. Says, you know what? Beautiful idea. And by the way, when they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe didn't know what to do with it because God didn't order them to bring. And now something else happening. You know, you bring sacrifices, no problem. Everybody brings a sacrifice, you can deal with it the same day. What is God telling Moshe Rabbeinu? No. Every president has got his own day. You don't sacrifice them together. You can, but no. You give everyone a day. And not only this, also on Shabbos, they're going to bring the sacrifice. And on Shabbos, only a korban tzibur, only a public korban is allowed, not a private one. And this is a private korban. But God said, this is not private. If they bring the same, they gather themselves and they put themselves together with each other. And this unity is so important that I am going to write in the Torah 12 times the same thing to teach us again and again how important it is to be together, to love each other. Let's go back to the other sacrifice. What's the idea about 6 wagons and 12 oxen? The same. Like in marriage. It's two. A man and a woman in the normal world, yes? You have also other things. But in our world, it's a man and a woman normally. They are putting themselves together to carry the wagon of the Jewish home. Now, if they go in different direction, what's going to happen?
It breaks.
It's going to break, or they're not going to move. So the beautiful thing here is a lesson not only of the unity of the tribes, but something to learn about a couple. Being a couple is two ideas, two opinions, and normally there are differences, but they complete themselves. And they together put the wagon and take it, but to the same direction. And here again, we see the beautiful act of the Nesi'im. They could bring 12 wagons with no problem, but they wanted to show God, we love each other. So we are going to see with all the differences we have, we are going to tie my ox to my friend's ox and carry the same wagon. Beautiful. And that brings us back to Yevarechecha, Hashem v'yishmerecha. Why is it in singular? Because this is where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be one. So when the Kohanim are blessing us, and when we want the blessing to happen in the best, is when we are united as one. And this is exactly the level that we have to get tomorrow morning, to be one. And if we're talking about being one, I must tell you a story. A few years ago, I don't know if I told you again, but I'm going to tell you, I think I told you again about going to the Kotel and Tfilat Vatikin. Tfilat Vatikin is when the sun raises up in the minute. This is a skula, very good time to pray. And on Shavuos, I've been in Jerusalem, and we decided after learning, we're going to go and daven Vatikin in the Kotel. This is around, I think, 4 o'clock in the morning. 4:30 maybe, I don't remember exactly. Very early. Normally at that time, everybody is sleeping and the streets are empty. We go out. The streets are not empty. Hundreds of people, men, women, children, religious, not religious, Hasidim, Misnagdim, all Am Israel, going, but not like a normal day. Because on normal day also you go, okay, not in the middle of the night, but in the middle of the day you see God, a lot of people going, men, women, and children, but what is the difference? Everybody is going in a different direction. But that night, everybody was going the same direction. It was amazing. And suddenly comes a group of yeshivas, from other side, and singing together, and then you get to the Kotel. And you know, it's full. It was very hard to daven, I must say. Why? Because on the right side I had the Yamanite minion, the left side I had a Hasidic minion, and I'm a Yek, a Yek minion, and then a Sfarad minion, and all together. But when it got to Shmoneh Esrei, everybody, and it's the same minute, because that's the idea of Vatikin, suddenly, shaken. Kol Dmama Daka. Exactly what happened before Matan Torah. And the feeling was elevated. It was like we say, מימיני מיכאל, משמאלי גבריאל, מלפני אוריאל, מאחורי רפאל, ועל ראשי שכינת אל. The angels are on all sides, and the Shekhinah is coming down on the Kotel to see the beauty of Am Yisrael כאיש אחד בלב אחד. I never believed it can happen, that all Am Yisrael will have the same idea, standing together with all the differences, but it happens and it can happen. And that's the idea of Matan Torah. That's what we have to achieve. Try, at least to try. Climbing to the mountain of receiving the Torah. I read last year a story, interesting, a true story about a student that decided to climb the Everest, which is one of the highest mountains in the world. Now, to climb the Everest is not just come and climb. You have to prepare yourself. It's a matter that takes a few months. It says around 3 months. And then when you're also climbing, it doesn't end. You get to a zone which is called the dead zone. There you can stay only 24 hours because the air is very thin, and after 24 hours you just cannot survive. In other words, you have 24 hours to climb to the mountain, to the top. And climbing is not easy, and at a certain spot you disconnect yourself from your friends, because otherwise if somebody falls, he takes everybody with him. And on the way, when you want to think about the picture is not very nice. Bodies, dirt, rubbish, what you do in the toilet in the middle, and flags, torn flags, like it looks like a big junkyard or dump,
like a big garbage place.
That's the way it looks on the way to the Everest top. But the horrible thing is the bodies. Because at this thin hair, there are no birds that are going to eat the bodies. So the bodies, and also it's very cold, so the body are preserved, and they look like they are sleeping. They're not dead, they're sleeping. Now this guy is saying they're climbing, and they come, and here and there he sees somebody who died or whatever, and then he saw somebody, and he was shaking him, and he realized that the guy is still alive. Now he has to decide. I got till here. I'm here. Another 300 meters or 200 meters, I'm on the top, achieving what I came from. And by the way, most of the people, that's what they do, they don't care. It's me, and that's it. Somebody dies on the way, they live in. And they go on climbing because they want to get to the top. Selfishness. And he says to himself, he's Jewish. And he says, 1 minute. And this is not a Jewish guy, never mind. But he tells, he's saying, what do I do now? Do I save this guy? And go down after all the preparation? And you have to understand, it's not only going down. It's not like, oh, I take him and go down. It's dangerous. It's risking your life. Or do I go on and climb the mountain? You know, who knows if I even can save him? But he decides to save him. They get down and they both have to be hospitalized, and they're very ill because of what happened, but he saved his life. Now looking at this, I was thinking to myself, 1 minute, look, they were climbing to the mountain, caring only about themselves. What do we do in Sefirat HaOmer? The same thing. We are climbing to the mountain to get the Torah. But here we do a different thing. We are counting each one by himself. It's personal counting, building our own abilities, but kulam biyachad, everybody together. And when we see on the way somebody who cannot make it, what do? We help him. And what do when we get to the top? We are standing ke'ish echad belev echad. We are standing like one. That is the beauty of Am Yisrael. And this is where we have to go to. This is what we have to think. We have a few hours to think about Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha, which is the basic of everything. And to understand, when you love somebody else like you love yourself, you really like him also loving yourself. Because we are all one. They say, Kol Yisrael Arevim. It's not Ze Laze, that's a mistake. It's Ze Baze. Ze Laze is to each other. Ze Baze is each in each other. In other words, we are a part of one. Each one of us is a part of one. We are involved together. And if we realize it, like once I asked somebody, a lecturer asked this, what is this? What is this?
Etzba.
Any other ideas?
One.
Any other ideas? What is this?
Finger,
okay. Any other ideas?
Shamai.
Any other ideas?
I see a point.
This is me. It's so simple. The finger is a part of me. The same way as each one of us is a part of the whole, which is called Am Yisrael. Unfortunately, we look at it as the finger. As one. You can look at it as whatever you want. But at the end of the day, what is it? It's me. And the same way, I got a cut here. It's hurting me. Not only the hand. That's the way it should hurt me when somebody suffers in Am Yisrael. And when somebody, you know, to suffer with somebody is much easier than be happy with somebody. You know this. You know, we like to have empathy to people that are in problems. Oh, it's a miskin. Oh, ichaval. But when somebody's successful, he did his money stealing. He did this and that. That's the way we look at life. But it's wrong. He says, "Geshem shemivarech al atov tzech levarech al ra." The same way you bless on the good, you have to bless on the bad. But it goes also the other side. The same way you are. It's not nice to say, you know, there was this guy. He was. He meets a guy, says, "How are you?" He says, "Oh, I've got so many problems." I say, "Wow, why are you lying? I know that you just now win the lottery, you had a very good time." He says, "I tell you why. Because if I'm happy, I tell everybody I'm sad. So everybody is happy. I want everybody to be with me, to be happy. When I'm happy, I did a good deal, I tell everyone I'm sad. So everybody is happy." And you know, I heard it is how true it is. Maybe not at that level. But for us, it's very easy to be sorry for somebody. But to be happy for somebody, and especially if he's got more than us, it's very hard. But that's exactly the idea. If everybody is the same and we are all together one, if he's got a lot, what does it mean? That I've got it. It's like somebody says, "Oh, look at those rich in-laws they've got." This guy goes, "God, be happy. You don't have to give money. They're going to give." But that's the way to look at life. That's the only way to look at life. When you look at life sharing and being together, it's going to look much better. And we're going through life much easier. And that is the idea of Sfirat HaOmer. That's the idea of receiving the Torah. Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope that we... You know, I'm not talking only to you, I'm talking only to myself. We are all the same. We all have our desires and our ego. But at least we'll try and think about our brothers and understand and realize that they are really our brothers and sisters. And whatever they do is affecting us for good or for bad. And let's hope that everything is going to be for good. Because if we are going to be good, they are going to be good. Everybody's going to be good. And we'll receive the Torah. And Bezrat Hashem, the Geula, Shlema, Bimera, Bi'Ameinu, Amen. Chag Sameach to everybody.